to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're from.
My name is Edson Cano. I'm currently in Las Vegas, but I'm originally from Houston.
Oh, Houston. That's an interesting vibe, huh? I like that. We're definitely going to get into that. How long have you been in Vegas?
Been here for the past 3 years. It's going to be 3 years in October.
So you came over COVID, and then obviously found you through your work as a tattoo artist and just you developing that brand and making it happen. And like I said before we started recording, I'm just super excited to chat because the obviously we love talking about how brands are developed, right? But this show is not just about that. We want to talk about why it is you do what you do, how you get started in it, right? Like some of the driving forces behind it. And the concept of art is such an abstract like tool or genre. Just the idea to be like, yeah, no, I'm gonna wake up in the morning and I'm gonna be an artist and I'm gonna make a living doing it. And actually I'm gonna do more than make a living. The sky's the limit and this is what I want to do. It's just the craziest thing because like my brain does not work that way at all, bro. Like I'm so far opposite to where I'm like, hold on, where's the guarantee at? Like, where does it say in the contract that I'm about to sign that when I pull this little machine out and start doodling on folks, like it's gonna work out? And I just love the way your mind thinks. And dude, I just like, not to get too deep too fast, but I want to hear all about it, man. Like, have you always been a creative or kind of what sparked that?
Yeah, I've always drawn as a kid, and something that I never took serious, you know. And it wasn't until I got my first tattoo when it just kind of hit me. But up until, you know, I was like, yeah. So from the beginning, I think the earliest I started drawing was around 4, and then just kind of grew from that, you know. It's been cool. It's been a long journey, you know, and it's still a growing process, which is the amazing part about it. You know, you can do as much as your mind wants to do, you know, which is the cool part about it.
And it's one of those things where it's such a weird thing. Like, how many siblings did you have growing up? Or were you an only child?
So I had 3. I am the youngest out of the 3, and I'm actually a twin. So I always grew up around my brother, with my brother, and it was nice having him around too, you know. And it was interesting, you know, because not everybody has that person to grow up with, you know, all the way through, you know, to adulthood. He actually moved to Vegas first, and then I kind of just follow suit, and he pursues another thing, and we kind of do our own thing, but we're still pretty tight, which is pretty amazing.
Dude, that's awesome. Are you guys identical or fraternal?
So technically we're fraternal, but we look identical. That's what they say, you know, but we got our own traits, you know.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And it's one of those things where like the energy, I guess if you got twin energy, you don't really have like youngest sibling energy, huh? You gotta always have like a partner in crime. That's gotta be tight.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things too where it's like, what are you talking about growing up in Houston? Were you born in Houston?
Yeah, born and raised up until 27 years old. So I was just, a long time.
What did your parents do growing up? Did you grow up with both parents in your house?
Yeah, I grew up with both parents. They're still together, and they're still working. You know, they're real hard workers. It's cool to see. My dad's like a welder, and my mom, she's a teacher right now, and she kind of did a little bit of everything, you know. But it's nice to see her, you know, in that zone teaching, you know, which is pretty cool because she's around kids. Everybody from the house kind of moved out, and so got lonely for them. But now she's found that pursuit and with the kids, and it's cool.
Dude, it's one of those things where we love to hear about support, right? We're really big on support because, you know, you always hear about like self-made this or I did it on my own that. And, you know, no one was around in the beginning, so don't be around in the end. Just bullshit like that, man.
Yeah.
Everybody needs support, like regardless of what it is that you pursue, right? Nobody's ever done it on your own. Even if, let's say, the idea, like, here's a weird concept I want your take on. How often do you think somebody actually has like a new idea? Like, real, like, you know what I mean? Out of all the humans that have been around, how often is it really like, hey, this is a fucking banger that I just came up with, but like for the past million years, nobody's thought of this? Pretty rare, right?
Yeah, really rare. Yeah, for
So
sure.
it's one of those things of like the support. Let's say you're like, man, I'm gonna make my own tech company and do this and this and this. It's like, all right, bro, but like half that shit Steve Jobs already did or Bill Gates already did. So like, don't they supported you in that, right? So you were able to, or your art, right, was probably influenced by somebody early on to where you're like, oh, okay, I see this. I didn't know that was possible, but now I'm gonna put my own spin on it, right, and get my own angles going.
Yeah,
And
exactly, really.
it's just like the idea around support. So was your family pretty supportive when you decided to, have you been tattooing pretty much since you left the house, or did you pursue anything else before you hit this path?
So I've been tattooing 8 years, and it's been a long journey. It wasn't always supportive from them. They grew up in a Mexican traditional household, stuff like that. So tattooing was something that was kind of looked down upon, and it's something that had to grow into them, you know. After they saw me like being real serious about it and making a little bit more money and being able to do what I need to do in order to live, then that's when they took, okay with it, you know. And I mean, I respect their decision in every way, you know. You want your kid to be in a good environment and stuff like that, and you want your kid to get educated. And it just wasn't for me, you know. So I just kind of did my own thing and found my own way, which, it is going to be the hard route for sure, but in the long run, it is where it's going to pay off. That's how I see it, you know.
Dude, that's
But yeah.
perfect. Perfectly said. And it's one of those things where we can kind of dive into like the traditional thing. And it's not just, exclusive to Mexican culture, right? It's almost everywhere. Black culture, white America in general, right? Of, parents coming from a specific generation where, they didn't necessarily have all the opportunities that we have in front of us today, right? So, although it may look super risky, right, in the short term, the idea of it paying off in the long term, sometimes, like even for my parents, my grandparents, it's such a foreign thing to be like, no, you can't control your own small business. Like, you don't have to get like funding from somebody or some, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need permission to go out there and do it. If you're talented in the market, which clearly the market has responded to the work that you do, right? It will work out. And the amount of control, freedom, and most importantly, dude, happiness, right, that you'll have in what you're pursuing is priceless, right? Like, there's nothing else that you would want to do rather than this. You could be driving a truck somewhere, right? It's probably what you would have been doing 30, 40 years ago, right? But like, now you have like, think, just talk about it when you first started out. Like, I'm sure your DMs were pretty dry, right? And then as you now start to get better and better, what were your thoughts back in the beginning when it was like, damn, I'm sitting around and nobody's booking me up, nobody's booking me up. And then now I'm sure you got people that you can't really even, you can't get to all of them, right?
No, it definitely is like that. I think at first it was like, yeah, it was slow, but I was trying to do anything and everything to try to get something going, you know. So whether it was, bringing the price down a little lower, it was something that I was willing to sacrifice, give them a little extra time and doing what I need to do. 'Cause then they saw the value in behind of what I was charging, and slowly just kind of worked the way up there, you know. And it's still a long journey, you know. I feel like I'm getting just enough comfortable where I'm at, but I need to keep pushing it and keep going hard, you know. And I think when you get complacent, it gets really tricky. You don't want to do that.
Hey, what does, and I'm gonna write down complacency. We'll get back to that. But what does pushing it and going hard look like for you, man? Because it's one of those things where I love to hear the behind the scenes. Like, what does the average day look like for you when you're really getting after it? What's your busiest day? And how are you continuing to grow? You know what I mean? Like, we don't need specific numbers or accounts or anything like that. But what does an artist who is finally hitting the level of success that you're hitting, what does it look like, and how do you continue to get better?
Yeah, so it's basically, I mean, it's a lot of combinations of things. So, I mean, from the moment I wake up, I'm listening to health and wellness videos, stuff like that, and trying to better myself as a human being. And then also getting to work and putting in the extra hour to put a design together, that extra hour to finish the tattoo off, And then even then, like, when I got nothing to do, but I still got a steady schedule, I find time to draw when I can and do stuff like that, Yeah, I don't try to sit down and just try to relax, Once you practice that over and over, what I'm saying though, it eventually becomes a habit, And so whether you're on your phone or whether you're just drawing, it doesn't really matter because it's just kind of wasting the time to be regardless, So it's better to focus on one good thing than do a bunch of bad things and get you nowhere, Because I feel like a lot of people are caught up on their phones, and that's what's messing up this generation, I think, but that goes just deeper, it goes deeper.
Yeah, man. Shit, I want to go a little deeper if you want to go over there. It's the
Yeah,
biggest thing
definitely.
with like with social media and the phones and everything like that that I'm seeing. And it's weird because you and I are in a weird age to where like we grew up with this stuff, right? Like it was there the entire time, but it wasn't like I have a younger sister. She's in an incoming junior in high school right now. And actually she just had a birthday party yesterday, man. So we were doing it big, having a good time and stuff. But yeah, seeing like a case study, and like I said, I don't spend too much time around teenage girls all the time, but when I do get like the little case study of seeing like eight of them on a bench together and they're all just glued to it, and I'm like, man, I would never, I just don't remember being in high school with a group of buddies and all we weren't talking. You know what I mean? We're like, hey, let's go grab a ball, let's go do something, let's go fucking wrestle around. Like we're gonna go get into something, right? And it's just
Yeah, it
crazy
wasn't until
how.
I was 18 until I got my first phone. So that was like when I started working. My parents weren't gonna buy me a phone, so I worked and got me a phone, and that was it, But no, you're right. Everyone's just locked in their phones. And the thing is, like with Instagram, you just see an instant like picture, People don't see the work that actually goes behind all of that, And I think that's what's taken for granted, the hard work, I think it's something that we should appreciate and, accept, in order to get
Dude.
somewhere, you definitely need to put some work in.
Yeah, man. And one of the things that I've been big on too, and I've said it a few times on this show, but it's been big on my mind recently is like, don't compare your behind the scenes world to somebody's highlight reel, right? Like if you're a new
Yeah,
artist, let's
exactly.
say, or you're in your first year of your business, right? And you have big plans, big dreams. That's amazing, right? I want people to have the sky is the limit. Go to the moon, right? Go to fucking Mars. I don't give a damn. But you can't compare it to, oh shit, what's that dog's name?
Mateo, he's over here bothering me.
Oh man. He's like, what's going on, right? Dude. It's one of those things where like you gotta run your own race and trust your own process. Like I can't compare my chapter. Think about this. If someone's starting a podcast tomorrow, you can't compare your first 10 episodes to my 210 episodes. You know what I mean? Because it's like you get better, you know what you're doing, you get smoother. And something that you pointed out as far as like creativity and just having your own style. I don't know, man. Like the youth and the kids are just honestly, it's everybody. It's not just kids, right? Because everybody's fucking addicted to their phones. I remember like when you and I were kids, we didn't have an app to tell us what was fun, right? We had to take these, even if it was Hot Wheels cars, you probably used to make the little tracks and stuff, right? And use your imagination to be like, dude, this is a launch ramp over a volcano. And realistically, it's a shoebox and a book that you put on its side, right? But it's a volcano in your mind. That stuff plays into your ability as an artist now because you pulled that out of your mind, right? Like you searched for that. It wasn't just like a, oh, I'm gonna play I don't know, Subway Surfer or whatever, Angry Birds, right? And you see kids all the time doing that. And I'm like, fuck, it's not building that muscle that you have that you develop of like actually putting out good shit, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Dude, and I mean that's one of those things too where it's like complacency, right? How do you are you a naturally disciplined guy, or does it kind of take you a little bit to get up in the morning?
Honestly, it does take me a little bit to get up in the morning. But I do try to like fight those thoughts, you know, like, yo, if I get that thought, just stay in bed a little bit longer. I make it a point to just hop right out, because and then I'm falling to my physical like self, you know. Mentally, I know I can get up and do it, you know, but like physically, I'm wanting to stay in bed, and I don't want to fall to the laziness of my body, I guess to say.
Yeah, man.
But it goes with a lot of things. Like if I get that thought in my head, like, should I go to the gym? I make it a point, go to the gym. Same thing with everything that I do, you know, like if it even just comes across my mind, I'm like, let me go do it, you know, because if
You
it's
know, it's
coming across, then maybe I should be doing
right. Like, if it's popping in your
it,
mind, something that I've been doing that might be interesting to the listener too is I've literally. Whenever you ask yourself, do you want to go to the gym? Have you ever really said yes? Like, the answer is never yes. You know what I mean? So,
know.
and the thing that I've been doing, and it's been working for like the past 2 months for me at least, is do I want to feel good like an hour or two from now? You know, or do I want to feel
Right.
the same right now? And then when I move my expectation of like, when am I going to get that hit that I'm looking for? Of like, fuck yeah, I'm
Right.
feeling jacked and we're having a good time and, you know, like, let's get after it. When you move it an hour or two, it like it's a different ball game versus like, hey, do you want to feel good right now? You're like, no, I don't want to. I want to sit on the couch and keep eating pizza, right? But when you're like, dude, I'm gonna feel great an hour from now, I can sign up for that. And then you do it and you're like, I'm fucking happy I did that, right? Are you kind of in a similar boat?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Always looking at like the gratification after, you know, like we're so used to that instant gratification at our fingertips, liking pictures and you're getting that dopamine hit or whatever. But like the best one is, you know, like you said, afterwards, because then you look at the whole day and you're like, well, now I did pretty good, you know, and I'm pretty happy that I did what I did and stuff like that. And that feels so much better too, you know. The more you can do that, the more you feel better about anything that you do, you know.
Yeah, man, before we get into talking about tattooing and just art in general, I'm fucking with your style right now, man. I see you got a
Yeah, thank
fresh
you.
cut. You got the glasses on, man. I gotta get a pair of those. Where'd you get those? Are those
Thank
is that
you.
Ray-Bans or what are those?
These are Gucci,
Oh, I see you,
actually.
man. Got the Gucci glasses on. My bad. I'm not as fancy as you, but I got it. You gotta send me the link to those. I might have to pick a pair up, all right?
they're pretty nice, man. I like them.
Oh yeah.
Thanks,
But
bro.
dude, one of the things, and like I said, I've had a few artists on recently. Everybody's process is different. The way they look at it, the way they, it's the most abstract thing in my mind, because if you handed me a tool or a machine and you were like, hey, go draw a dragon or a gorilla or something like that on that guy's leg, I wouldn't even know where to start. I'd just be like, God damn, I don't know. I gotta take a bathroom break. Like, I can't just, this is a lot to wrap my mind around. What, how do you do that, man? How do you take something from, and it seems like the hardest art. I guess we can start right there. Would you agree? Is like tattooing the hardest one to do, or at least the most kind of diverse, because the canvas is so like flexible, you know? Like, it's not just a brick wall. A brick wall makes sense, but a body, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I thought that transitioning into tattooing would be pretty easy, being that I was an artist in general, and I thought, you know, I could do the same what I can do on paper, but it's totally different ball game. You know, there's a lot of things that are and, you know, dependable on how your work comes out, you know, from the skin texture to the body part, you know, and stuff like that, you know, or even the flow of the body, you know, like not everybody's body is the same. So what my flow in someone's arm is going to be completely different from another arm, you know. But it's something to, like, in time understand what you're working with, you know. It's not something that's picked up right away, and you know, once you're able to recognize it, it's pretty easy, you know. But as far as like the tattoo design comes, like together, that can be very difficult too, you know. At first, Definitely, because people just try to like people just try to put their kind of understandings of what a tattoo is on you, you know, and that's where you tell them, or I tell them, hey, you know, that's not gonna work on the body. We can do this, we can do that. And then for the most part, a lot of people are understanding, you know. But yeah, working with the other person's ideas is pretty hard sometimes, you know, depending on the person. But it's cool. It's a fun journey from start to finish, you know.
Yeah, man. Tell me about something like what's a recent pretty big piece that you worked on lately? Anything specific come to mind?
Yeah, so just I think the other day, actually, this was Saturday. Been working on this guy's arm. He has the Cerberus, just like a three-headed dog of the underworld or something. He has that on his lower arm, and then on the upper arm, we also did like a knight with these angel wings coming around from him, and it's pretty nice. So it's like a dark and light kind of theme, and we still got a ways to go. We're gonna probably got like three more sessions. Each session's about like 8 to 10 hours or so.
Man,
That was cool.
and it's the craziest concept because, like, I got two good sized tattoos, one on my rib cage, one on my upper back, and like I didn't like sitting there. It wasn't nothing crazy. It was no 8 hours. It was what, like a three or four, you know, nothing like crazy, a little half session. But I'm like, how the fuck do these guys do this every day? Like, you really just sit there, just going and going and going. What do you like? Are you like a big music guy? Do you usually throw headphones in? Or something I've been learning too is some studios are pretty social, so like you don't necessarily need headphones. But do you, I guess, even like where do you work too right now? Like, are you on your own? You know what I mean? Does it vary? Like, how do you usually, are you in a studio? Tell the people about that.
Yeah, I'm in a studio. I'm at Seven Tattoo, and it's here in Las Vegas. But it's a really great shop, really world renowned. I had moved from Houston to work there, and it's a great environment, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of growth, and a lot of growth in that shop, and it's great, you know. We try to push seminars and stuff like that. And so, like, usually with my sessions, as far as like what I'm doing, it varies, you know. Some days I'm listening to podcasts, some days I'm listening to audiobooks, some days I'm listening to music, and other days, you know, I'm talking to the client, you know. It just depends on the person themselves, you know. I try to fill out the client, and if they're in a talkative mood, well, then we talk, and if not, then you know, we kind of zone in on our own world and kind of just focus in. And sometimes they do appreciate it, you know, when we're zoning in and kind of paying attention more to the details and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been into a lot of philosophy lately, so like a lot of audiobooks lately. So that's it's been cool. It's been good.
What you been reading up on lately? Anything specific?
A range of things, you know. I've been kind of into this like Joe Dispenza type stuff, and he's an interesting guy, but he's more of like a spiritual, what, I don't even know what you call it, like manifestation, visualizing stuff, and kind of on that
Okay.
realm, you know. It's
I'm with
pretty
that.
interesting.
And
Yeah.
what's the biggest takeaway? What's the biggest light bulb moment that you've had off of that? Because I usually try to get as many of those. I say it hits me like a ton of bricks, right? When you find they're like, fuck, why was I thinking about it this way? I can't, like, I'm so stupid. I should have just went right here. Like, why was I trying to take the
Right.
stairs and there's an elevator? Anything like any quotes or kind of sayings that you picked up that you kind of like to use in your everyday life now?
Not so much, but I did hear him say one time, like, you know, our mind is like a projector, right? To in order to see the world that we see, you know, outside, and what we, you know, work with every day is what we see inside. So if you want to see something great, awesome, you know, visualize it in front of you with your eyes closed, and then eventually it'll come to you. And that's something that I try to live by, you know. Try to
Dude.
always see the good, try to see the best in everything, you know, and you know, try to shape the world I see, you know, which is pretty powerful.
I like that. I feel like I had a coach growing up that used to always say, like, if you don't believe that you can do it, how can you ever expect anybody else to believe that you can do it? You know, whatever your business or your craft is, like, and that's not to say blindly think that you can do something, but work for it. You know, confidence comes through practice and repetition, right? And then go out there and make it happen, dude. And honestly, something that I've been really big on, and I think I want to get your take on it, is guys like us who are wired to like go all the time, right? You're just Mexican culture, just the way you are. Like, that's how we grew up, right? It's like you work fucking hard. Like, that's, we don't care what it is, you work fucking hard. And I've had to recently really understand that, like, yeah, I took efficiency to the limit recently. And over the past, I would say for this entire summer, I've really had to scale back, but to the point of like, whatever the most efficient thing is, fuck your happiness, fuck my happiness. Like, we're gonna do it. Even if it's like, I don't know, we gotta hop over this razor wire so we don't have to go around. Like, that's the more efficient route, right? But it doesn't necessarily make us the happiest or the people around us the happiest. So I've honestly like just had to tattoo this on my brain or my projectors, like, hey man, you're trying to shoot for happiness over efficiency. Like, that doesn't mean take the long route, right? But if, let's say, we're in a coffee shop, like I was in a coffee shop this morning, dude, and this girl took forever to give me my bagel sandwich, right? Like, that's what I had for breakfast. I was like, dude, I'm hungry. Like, let's get it. And clearly they forgot about my order because like the three people behind me got their orders. And you know, I used to go up there and be like, hey, what the hell is going on? Yeah, give me my fucking, I want a refund or whatever. And instead, you know, I was like, hey, I'm not trying to be efficient. I'm just trying to be happy. Like, I'm in the coffee shop. It's good weather out. It's good vibes. I'm just getting ready for the podcast coming up later. Like, let me just ask her real quick. And then, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. We'll get it right out to you. And dude, it's not that deep all the time, right? Like, happiness over efficiency. And how do you kind of see that playing out in your life over, you know, becoming the happiest tattoo artist that you can be, right? The happiest business owner, entrepreneur. Like, have you put too much thought into that?
I don't know. I mean, I do. Like, I think it's being an artist has helped me appreciate life a little bit more, you know, appreciate even those little moments, like you said. Like, you might have been like caught up in the coffee shop, you know, and it's like when I take moments like that, like I sit down and I try to take in the coffee shop, you know, and try to, you know, smell the coffee beans and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, you know, try to appreciate life a little bit more. But yeah, it's helped me appreciate the journey, you know, because like tattooing, it's pretty stressful, you know, from the moment I get to the inside to the moment I'm done. But like, to sit down and appreciate the journey from like the stencil to the design to the putting it on to in the middle halfway with the tattoo, I'm sitting back and I'm looking at it. I'm like, hell yeah, you know, that's badass. So I try to carry that with my life as well, you
I'm gonna take that. Hell yeah, that's badass. That's how you know you did good
know.
work right there, huh? When you're like, hell yeah, I like that. That's dope. Dude, I want to hear a little bit more about that process. Like, our favorite thing on this show is when we'll have like a pilot on and he's like, yeah, you know, this lever does this, this lever does that. You got to pull up your thrusters and hit the gyroscope. And I'm like, I'm happy that guy knows how to land a plane because I sure can't. You know what I mean? Like, don't call me for anything like that. But yeah, like, what is your process for that, man? And like, if you're doing a long leg day or what is it, like a leg piece, and it's a full session of 8 hours, how many breaks do you usually take on average? Like, what is the pacing? Like, what is the speed? I guess it depends on the type of tattoo though, right? Of like, have you ever done like a time lapse or something to where you're actually able to see the entire piece come together?
Yes and no. I've only done that on the pieces I can get done in one day. A lot of the projects that I do are 2 to 3 days, you know. But yeah, I just take and a break every 2 hours to clear the mind, you know, and then get back to it. Usually take about like 15-minute breaks, you know, in between. And yeah, that's about it. It's a good way to clear the mind.
Dude, and that's been something that I've had to be like so big on too, whether it's like podcasts or, you know, the other business endeavors that I have or things like that. It's I used to, as a kid, be like, man, my brain doesn't need a break. Like, you're just being soft, right? Because if your body's not tired, right? Where I'd work some tough manual labor jobs out there in like the ocean or, training crazy dogs or something like that, where I'm like, well, I'm physically able to walk, so I'm going to keep going. And then as you get older, right? And you become a business owner, you start running your own shop. Dude, the hardest days are the ones where like I just get foggy towards the end of the day, where I'm like, fuck, I don't even want to think about this stuff. I
Definitely.
don't want to edit another episode, let's say, or I don't want to do any of this because it's too much, right? And then you go out, get some fresh air for 20, 30 minutes or something, and then you come back and I'm like, oh, the pressure has kind of been released though, is in my head. And it's just a crazy way to kind of realize that like your mind really is so important, and you can do so much more with your brain than your body ever could, right?
No, definitely. That's one thing that took me a while to realize. Like, my brain is processing information for so long that I'm just like hyper focused on what I'm doing that by the time I'm like done in those even that 2 hours, like my brain is pretty exhausted. And after a long day, yeah, I'm pretty tired, That's another
Yeah,
thing,
man.
like, it's helped me stay aware, and stay aware of what I'm paying attention to, stuff like that,
Hey, what are some of the things? Here's a question for you. Like, because this is what I've had to do. Let's say the analogy I have is like when I first started the podcast, I used to try to force everything, right? Like every question, every this, like I'm like, I have to be hyper aware, right? And then over the course of whatever, it just becomes a conversation, no pressure, right? Like I just forget we're on the mic, forget we're recording, right? And are there some things that you used to do as a younger artist where you're like, man, I gotta force it, I gotta force it. And then now that you're like, no, it just flows and it comes naturally. And like, not naturally, but it's so a part of my routine and in my habit that I don't even really even think about it. Like, do you have things like that?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think so. For me, one major one was definitely the design process, with the days that I do have their 10-hour days and back to back 5 days a week, and it's like, where do I have time to design, And so before, when I wasn't as busy, I prepared beforehand, and so when we get to the tattoos, just then, And so I wouldn't be stressed out, but now it's like different. I do the design beforehand and then I get the tattoo. And so it's a lot of pressure to get the tattoo design beforehand, but it's something that I've learned to embrace and something that I've like do very well now, I'm like, don't even stress it. I just show up and then I just crank out the design, flows right out of me. And yeah, I think I work best like that now too, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, man. And it's almost like, I don't know, I battle with this a little bit as I've gotten better with my, career and stuff has gotten, bigger and like just more successful, which is, what we hope for. I feel like one of the weirdest things is as things become, they feel easier, right? There's certain things that feel easier and I feel like I'm not working as hard. And then sometimes I get guilty. Like I'm like, because I've done certain things so many times, right? Like let's say you have a piece that you know is your bread and butter. And I'm almost like, damn, am I cheating these people right now? Because like it doesn't feel like how I feel like it should. But at the end of the day, I'm like, no, I'm just relaxed and the quality of product is still fire. But do you ever feel that way sometimes?
Oh yeah, definitely. I compare it to like when you're swimming, when you first start swimming, you're like treading on water, you're really freaking out, you don't know what to do. But once you start doing it over and over, you just become a natural and you don't even realize, how easy you're flowing through things, and it's pretty cool.
That's a good one. I'm gonna take that one. I like that. The kind of last thing that I want to do about tattoos, and then we'll get into some questions that I like to ask all my guests, and I'll get you out of here. But nervous people, like I'm sure you deal with a lot of people who obviously aren't as experienced with the process. Maybe most of the people you deal with are, pretty. Does it still kind of baffle you, or what have you seen through doing hundreds of people that are like, hey, I'm fucking nervous, man. Like I don't know. How do you deal with that?
It's interesting to see, because everybody thinks that is a lot worse than what there really is, but I do get a lot of nervous people and some people that, complete opposite, which is amazing to see, because I know I was nervous on my first tattoo, it hurt, and some people take it well, and it surprises you. But so I've had people pass out from just even thinking about the pain, like,
Really?
yeah, not even ready for the tattoo mentally. And it's like, it's crazy to see that because I'm like, damn, I can't believe that just
Dude,
happened.
that's almost something big though. That's like the mind is really so powerful that it will just shut you down. Like if you let it run and spiral, right?
Right? No, definitely. Mine
Dude.
could be the worst thing sometimes.
Did that person end up getting a tattoo done or did they just head out? Like, what do you do after you
No,
pass out?
they were kind of done. Yeah, they kind of just like maybe another day. I was like, yeah, it's understandable. I wasn't gonna force
That day
that
never
either.
came. They fucking never set foot in a tattoo shop ever again, I bet.
Nah, I don't think so.
Dude, that is so crazy. And it's weird too because here, I guess here's the better question is I have people that'll come on, right, that aren't necessarily like active in the podcast scene, right? They might be in the shadows a little bit, a little more introverted. And before they'll tell, oh, I'm super nervous or this and that. And I'm like, it's not live or nothing. Like, calm down. You're making me nervous. Hey, calm down. You keep that over there. And then I'll be over here with the good vibes and it's all good. I got you taken care of. But like, I know is it always works out. 9.99 times out of 10, it always works out. So I know like there's nothing to be nervous about. And you know, with your art, like this shit's going to turn out cool. Like, if I'm doing it, it's going to work. And for some reason, people are still nervous. And that this shit is so weird to me,
Yeah, it's funny.
Dude.
I've learned to embrace it. Like, if I am nervous, if I am, it's probably for a reason that's gonna make me grow for the most part, And yeah, I try to embrace that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And honestly, the last kind of tattoo question that I had for you, man, were what are some of your favorite pieces to do? Like styles. It doesn't have to be a specific one because I know you do so much stuff, but like what
Yeah.
are some of your favorite things, or maybe are you do you go through seasons of where you're like, dang, I really like doing these, and then I switch to this, and then I go back to this style. Tell me a little bit about it.
I do love to do black and gray as a baby. I started off doing a lot of stuff from traditional to illustrative stuff to black, what we call black works and stuff like that, geometric stuff. But I've been really digging the black and gray pieces. And what really intrigues me is kind of subject matter nowadays. I really like something that's gonna like visually tell a story, without having to say anything, And so when someone looks at it, it kind of just impacts you and hits you, and you're like, damn, And yeah, that's really what intrigues me, There's something that's gonna spark the mind of some sort, Like something that's gonna make you think, like, what's the meaning behind that,
Yeah. Oh, that's well said, man. And that kind of goes back to like you said, if it is something that makes you nervous, it's probably going to be something that makes you grow. And that's what a tattoo is, right? Is like you're putting this art and you're making an extension of your body, right? You're enhancing in an area that you've been looking to for a long time and you're finally doing that. And I guess like that's maybe what at least maybe the nerves were for me initially, whereas now I'm just like I want to get stuff done so that I can forget about it. Like, get the leg done so I don't have to think about the leg anymore. Like, it's fucking done. That's how it
Yeah.
works for me, though. It's like, I'll get something on my back and I'm just like, oh, I forgot that was there. Someone has to bring it up for me to be like, oh, yeah, that is there, huh?
Yeah, right. Now for me,
And
like getting the tattoo is like what is it? So it would be like just weakness leaving the body because I know it fucking hurts, and I'm like, it's just me, getting used to the pain and eventually, I mean, I'm pretty covered, so it's pretty easy for me now, and it's cool. It used to be not like that.
yeah, I wish there was a way to like, they got to figure that out. That shit does hurt. And I'm not going to go under anesthesia for a fucking tattoo. That is, I don't care how big it is. Like, I feel like, you know how stupid my family would be looking at me if I got put under and then didn't wake back up ever again because I wanted like a full back
Damn.
piece done in one session.
Right.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. People are pushing it though. That's good for the industry, But no, I completely understand what you're saying.
Like it's sometimes it goes a little too far, and that's definitely where the line should be. Like I feel like, man, but dude, I appreciate you so much for coming on this show. We're in no hurry right now, so I want you to take your time kind of answering these next questions. I just like to ask this next one. You don't have to have an answer to. I just like to open it up to kind of see if it takes us anywhere. It doesn't have to. But is there anything that I didn't ask you so far that you wanted to maybe highlight or chat more about before we get you out of here? It doesn't have to be specific to your industry. It could be a fucking dream you had a couple nights ago or anything like that. Just anything you wanted to share.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think. I think a takeaway from all of this, that I want people to take from this is just that, you're the creator of your own world, So I was just saying, in anything they do, we're some of us artists in our own different ways, and that's where I'm saying, we can create anything that we want in our world, whether it be a better life and stuff like that, and I think that's something to take away from all of this, that's why I was so open to doing your podcast, because I saw that you had different people, not tattoo artists and stuff like that. So you can see the different perspectives from different people,
Yeah, man, I feel that. And it's one of those things where, like, I appreciate you kind of answering the call to come on, right? I can tell you, I reach out to a lot of fucking people, and a lot of people don't come on, right? So
Damn.
it's one of those things where it's all good. If you show up, you show up. If you don't, we just got to move on and try to find the next guest, right? That's how it works around here. Dude, the
And all
last
that comes
thing.
back around,
Yeah, man. The last thing that I wanted to ask you before I let you get out of here, man, is as you've kind of been a part of Natural Thoughts and Talks, and you see kind of what it is that we're building and how we're trying to get people's stories and processes documented and just put out there for more people to kind of learn and build from. Are there maybe like 2 to 3 people that you know that you maybe want to take the time to shout out right now that you'd like to see me reach out to and see if they'd be interested in coming on and doing an episode about themselves? It could be, another artist. It could be another entrepreneur, right? It doesn't have to be just anybody with a cool spirit. And, they really are passionate about what they do. Those are the types of folks that I want to reach out to and have on the show, man. Does anyone come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, as far as other people, I would say just maybe people that I work with. They're all amazing. Like my boss man, Daniel Rocha. He's a pretty awesome artist. My boy Miguel De Costa, I think. I'm not quite sure his last name, but he works with me. And
Yeah.
those guys, what they do is, I mean, it's pretty amazing. They inspire me every day to do, great work, and it's pretty tight. And they, Daniel for sure has like different avenues that he does, from social media to, business side of tattooing to, like the education part of tattooing. We do a lot of seminars and stuff like that. We have world-renowned artists that come by and teach us different things, and then but also like a mentor, he's a mentor to everyone that's in the shop. Pretty cool, and Miguel too, he's an awesome artist, he does a lot of great work, and his hustle is, unmatched, he does
Yeah.
lettering, and yeah, a lot of his stuff is freehand, and it's pretty inspiring, it's pretty cool.
And it's one of those things too, where it's like as you are driving in the car later, or you're making dinner or something like that, when somebody pops into your head, dude, those are the types of people, send them my way, and we'll make sure to try to get as many of these things recorded as we can. You feel me?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll definitely link you up too.
Hey, the last thing that I wanted to ask you too that I just thought of is what is your process or your recommendation for somebody who is looking for a good artist? Obviously, we want them all to come to you, right? We want everybody that we can to come to you. However, that connection between artists and client, right? What are some of the things that you try to promote with your clients to be like, hey, this is how you know this is the right guy for the project that you're working on. What are, because you've seen so much, what would you recommend?
So I would recommend someone to go on Instagram, go on Google, look at local artists. But look at a range of artists, look at what you like, what you don't like, what the look you're going for, and try to reach out to that artist. A lot of different artists specialize in different things, and I think it's important to seek someone that knows exactly what they're want like doing, So if you like that black and gray work, more realism, go for it, check it out, And but also, if you can, go to the tattoo shop, get a vibe, see how it feels, because sometimes you might work walk into a tattoo shop and you don't like the environment, how the music is playing, stuff like that, because it goes into deeper things. Like you might feel uncomfortable when you're getting tattooed, so the pain is gonna hurt more, So it's something to take in consideration, Somewhere you're gonna like, the people that are around you,
Dude, said perfectly, man. I appreciate you so much for coming on. Hopefully we'll have you back on sooner rather than later, and
Hey, appreciate you, man, for having me too.
hey dude, I just wanted to kind of finish off by just saying thank you. Like, I'm sure you get, a lot of thank you from your clients, things like that, but at the end of the day, it's like I really do want to thank you, man. That the shit that you do, it's a big part of moving pop culture forward. Just tattoos, music, just art, and getting it's a global industry now, and it is something that is while the art is relatively old, right? The stage that we're in right now, it's been less than 2 years, 10 years that it's really been popping off like how it is, to where, I'm a guy who, like I said, is running a finance company, and 10, 20 years ago, that'd be like, no, you can't have anything like that. And it's like, the guy who owns my building is double sleeved up and he's like doing his own thing. And it's just like funny to see the world, how some of the stiffest industries, right, have really started to bend and curve. And it's just more about like doing what makes you happy, right, bro?
Exactly, man. No, I appreciate you very much, man. Those are some good words for sure.
All right, we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you guys for listening to Natural Thoughts and Talks. Peace.
Peace, man.